fuck you wanna do.
You're listening to the very sultry sounds of my favorite band, Fuck Wolf.
It sure sounds like wolves engaging in coitus to me.
This is the soundtrack that goes in through my brain every time I have coitus.
Yes.
That's the rhythm that I go.
Boy, that sounds like some anarchistic, melodic brilliance.
And this song is called, by the way, What a Fuck. Not What the Fuck, and not even a question mark, but What a Fuck.
Yeah.
This sounds like it would have been a theme song for an ECW wrestler who was around for like 6 months.
By the way, when the band is called Fuck Wolf, but the song is called What a Fuck, and they replace the U and the C with asterisks.
Because like if like I mean picture being like a kid and you're playing your favorite Fuck Wolf song, and your mom comes in and is like, "Hey, what's the name of this song?" You're like, "Oh, it's What a Frick by Fuck Wolf.
It's What a Fun, Mom." You know what I love most about Fuck Wolf? This album here is 7 tracks, 35 minutes. Dude, they're averaging 5 minutes a track. That is confidence in your art right there.
Yeah, I just so you know, when I do have coitus, I do not make it all the way through a Fuck Wolf track.
No.
I can't.
Hey, what are you, a machine? Come on.
Yeah, there's too much rhythm. What am I, a man half my age? Am I right?
One time I had to get up and flip the tape.
What are you, a man with appropriate levels of testosterone? Have we all gone mad?
What am I, not a cuck? What am I, the one having sex with my girlfriend and not having paid someone to do it?
What am I, the one being watched? I think not.
God, how violating would that be?
You know, that this album takes me back to all the time I've spent in the lobby of the Low T Center.
Oh, dude, I think my favorite track without listening to it on the Fuck Wolf album is Rub-E Dub-E.
Rub-E Dub-E. Yeah. Or
the old Rub-E Dub-E.
Afro-Cuban. There's one called So What? There's Mardi Gras. I bet that song's a party.
For sure. And then, of course, there's the song White Strokes, which we got to believe is dedicated to the masturbatory nature of Fuck Wolf.
White Strokes and Thick Ropes. That's how I'm living. That's Hot Boy Summer. That's my motto this summer. White Strokes and Thick Ropes, baby.
It's a hot white boy summer with the White Strokes and the Thick Ropes up in this mother. Boom!
And to fill everybody in, if you don't remember from 2 episodes ago, I talked about this because this is a CD I have borrowed for many years. I won't say I stole it, but I took it from the radio station. There was a big box of CDs that artists would send in, and I saw Fuck Wolf, and I thought, how could I not own this?
Yeah.
So I had this physical CD somewhere around here because I found it in the move, and I'm like, I can't throw away Fuck Wolf.
No. Yeah. Here's my question. When you were hosting college radio, was there a language restriction? Could you play Fuck Wolf and get away with it? Or were they too much?
It was too much. And there are like safe harbor hours, I believe is still the rule, but that's so weird to me that now you can't even swear on the radio. Like I get, you can't say certain words, but after like 11 PM, who cares? Because you have access to a phone.
TV lets you do that now. Like cable TV and stuff, especially like after a certain hour, like South Park isn't censored anymore. Like if they play it late at night. So
my understanding is that they've always been able to do that, but they don't do that to self-censor so they don't run into anything because cable's not held to the same restrictions as broadcast TV.
The FCC is really weird. Because I remember like just the little bit that I, like the couple years I did TV, radio, film stuff in college, it's essentially, it's allowed until somebody complains.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could literally play anything. Like if you're confident that no one hearing it is going to report you, you can play whatever you want. That's what I gathered from it anyway. Like it's not illegal, like just based off of, you don't have to like, you're not getting audited where they want to hear your tapes to make sure you didn't say something. It's literally, hey, if people start bitching, then you're in trouble.
And even on the radio, you could say, on the radio, as far as I know now, you could say, don't be a dick, mm-hmm. but you can't say, suck my dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the bodily functions where you can't get into that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to use your dick for what it's intended by God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. For just for, you know, procreation, essentially. Yeah.
And for a while, you could say there's a clip of Bono on one of these award shows, and he was like, this is fucking brilliant. Thank you very much. But that was allowed. You could say fuck in that context.
Right. But you can't say suck a fuck wolf.
No, you can't say that.
I'm going to fuck the fuck wolf. You could actually say fuck wolf. You could not say the first fuck, though.
No. The bummer about that is late night college radio, if there's ever an audience for fuck wolf, it would be whoever the hell lonely human being is listening to Indiana College Radio late at night. Yeah. I think fuck wolf would essentially be their battle cry.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I got this women's lit paper due at 8 a.m. I need some fuck wolf to keep me up and motivated. Fuck wolf
and caffeine pills or Adderall.
Goddamn, if I don't jam out to some White Strokes and What a Fuck, I'm not sure I'm going to get this done.
Yeah. How am I ever going to write about the plight of women's suffrage?
My whole semester is riding on this 35 minutes of fuck wolf.
There is, by the way, a live version of one of these songs from 2018.
Can you please? And
I don't know if that's the same fuck wolf or if this is another
song. Is there an imposter fuck wolf? Mm. Is that what you're saying?
Wow, the record industry is vicious.
They're on Instagram, by the way, at Fuckwolf Band.
If we had any musical talent, we should become a Fuckwolf cover band. Like, I think it'd be funny to become a cover band for a band that really hasn't made it in the grand scheme. Like, yeah, we're covering the band that beat us at Battle of the Bands in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's we're a cover band for them now.
You're chasing them. That would be very much like that. What's that really funny show that people love with those two British dudes? Flight of the Conchords. Wouldn't it be kind of like that a little bit?
Yeah. They're from New Zealand.
Oh, well, whatever. I've never seen the show. I just assume they were British because most British comedy is decent.
Their last post was in December of 2020. So they're still active. I mean, it's been 5 months ago, 6 months ago now, but looks like they're from San Francisco.
Please tell us what the post was. Okay, how the hell is Fuckwolf still a thing? I mean, this album was from 2007.
Do you think when I do my shows at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco that I could get Fuckwolf to come out to the shows?
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Oh, man. How you know what? I'm about to give them their 202nd follow right now. They're going to get that blue check mark bump.
And that here's 202. Or three, whatever it is. Yeah, they're up to 202 now. Guys, for this week, don't follow us on social media.
Yeah.
Go follow
us. Well, follow us as long as you, like, I'm going to check. If you follow me and I look and you're not following Fuckwolf Band, I'm blocking you. You're no longer following me. That's the rule.
Yo.
Do you think they had to put the word band at the end because somebody else had Fuckwolf?
Well, like looking through here, there's a lot of people. Like, I just looked up Fuck Wolf. There's a lot of people who named like, there's Fuck Wolves.
Yeah.
Fuck Wolfer.
In 2019, they were advertising a show called McGurk is Turning 50. I think one of the Fuck Wolf founding members may have had a milestone birthday over the last couple of years.
I think we could have the birthday party at Cobb's Comedy Club, San Francisco.
That would be dope.
Yo, by the way, they're still a band. This is nuts. Like, they actually have a somewhat active band.
Well, let's check their band camp and see the last time they put up new music there.
Oh, my God. Brent, you need to get at least one of the founding members of Fuckwolf out to Cobb's Comedy Club. I don't know how we do it, but they have their website, fuckwolf.bandcamp.com, #fuckwolf. Come on now.
I think we do have to give a shout out to our resident artist, Bobby Goldman, for this week's Fuckwolf art.
Yes, it was beautiful. We posted on Instagram, have not posted on Facebook yet, but we're going to do it. She made a very creative, basically we're a bunch of stripper fuckwolves, which I think is great artistic integrity right there.
And it's on brand. It's how we live.
Coming to the stage, Fuck Wolf. She's like, my cherry pie.
I would assume that like if like the members of Fuck Wolf, all of their names is like Fuck Wolf Alpha.
Yeah.
Fuck Wolf Omega.
It's like Bone Thugs and Harmony, yeah. But there's a wolf to it.
There's Busy Fuck Wolf. There's
Big Bad Fuck Wolf.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the rest of the names. I just knew Busy Bone. Who else
is part of Fuck Wolf? That's me.
It's the fuckish, ruckish wolf.
Brent's name is just Lazy Fuck. They took out the wolf part.
See you at the Fuck Wolf, Fuck Wolf, Fuck Wolf concert.
Man, give me some of that rub-e-dub, please.
Rub-e-dub, please?
Man, can you imagine us coming to the stage? It is the three newest members of Fuck Wolf jamming out to What a Fuck. Oh, is this? Okay.
This is Rubby Dubby.
Oh, dear.
This is the kind of music you play when you're like real drunk in a movie and you need like, when you need to seem really drunk in a movie.
I've never tripped on acid, but I think when you first brought up Fuck Wolf for the first time, you did mention they were an experimental band. I feel like, and you know, this actually kind of makes sense. So one of Mike Patton's bands from Faith No More is called Mr. Bungle. They originated in San Francisco in the late 80s and influenced a lot of weird bands. Listening to that for 10 seconds, I bet you Fuck Wolf are Mr. Bungle fans. You should ask them that when they all come to your show at Cobb's Comedy Club.
I like that we've spent 12 minutes promoting this band harder than we ever have ourselves.
Yeah.
Forget about our Patreon. Just follow Fuck Wolf and try to get them. Let's bombard them with messages begging them to come see Brent.
Yeah. Forget our Patreon. Follow Fuck Wolf and then join our Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't take food out of Fuck Wolf's mouth.
I'm going to say this week, all of the proceeds from the Patreon will go to feeding Fuck Wolf.
I'm going to do the show intro over the song The Dream.
Fuck Wolf is the dream.
Let's wait for the beat to drop. Wait, that might take a while.
This could, yeah.
Okay, let me see. Pull up a seat, no lunch money required. This is the Cafeteria Podcast. Fuck will find us everywhere at Cafeteria Pod. Rate us 5 stars. Oh, damn it. I don't have Apple Music, so I only got the free 30 seconds.
Join our Patreon so that Johnny can do bits like this and it not be so sad that he only gets 30 seconds of Fuck Wolf at a time.
You are taking Fuck Wolf out of my mouth. I'm not joining the Patreon. We're at Cafeteria Pod on Instagram. Find us on Facebook as well. Rate us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. We're up to almost 100 five-star ratings. So we're getting there. We need a couple of y'all, a couple of you newbies. Rate us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. Johnny LaQuasto here at Jay Quasto on the socials. And this po-po power wheel of raw sex appeal not only finished third place in 2019 season of America's Got Talent, but last week was his birthday and he's been butt naked ever since, because that's how you do a birthday month. If you're looking for someone to make sweet love to a bowl of mac and cheese, then he can't be beat. He's a Kankakee Valley Cougar. Find him at Cripple Threat 8. He's the Cripple Threat of comedy. He's Ryan Niemiller.
Jonathan Brentrick.
Fuck Wolf. Do?
Ryan.
So we've already established Brent is Lazy Fuck. Is yours just Cripple Fuck?
Cripple Fuck or Stumpy Fuck?
That doesn't feel right, also, Ryan.
Brent is going to turn into Stumpy Fuck, though, so I need something. mine needs to be totally, like, I have a very clear thing it should be, and I'm like, no, I'm Brainy Fuck.
Tell me what you're going to do when there ain't no wolves to fuck.
It's a cross between Bone Thugs and Harmony and the Smurfs.
Yes. It's experimental is what we are. That's why our tracks have to be 5 fuck.
I'm low blood sugar fuck.
Well, I'm going to go lay down.
Speaking of that, this sepia filtered gingerbread cookie was named one of Variety Magazine's top 10 comics to watch. He's the road manager for the aforementioned experimental band Fuck Wolf, and he's doing his damnedest to hang on to both of his feet, but that will not happen. If Ponderosa Buffet has anything to say about it, check out his Dry Bar Comedy special on Dry Bar Comedy all over the internet, getting millions upon views, although a lot of those should now go to Fuck Wolf. It's titled Crooked Ginger. He's representing the Pope Ron Cali High School football Jumpin' Jack, formerly Rebels, but now they are the Royals, and he is none other than Brent Terhue.
I'll have you guys know that that 38 special song, Hold On Loosely, is about my feet. Just hold on loosely. Don't let go.
Got a couple of tendons left.
And they're starting to mold.
Ryan, first off, your mansion looks beautiful behind you.
Literally the same as it has the past 2 weeks that I've recorded it. It is so like moving is the worst thing. Like we're renting this house. The next place we get will hopefully be the house we buy. And then like, I don't care how shitty it ends up being. If it becomes like the money pit, I will live in like no floors, no roof. I don't care. It's taking forever to unpack. Like we have the downstairs pretty much good. Like the living spaces are fine, all of that. But like, my video game collection is a fucking nightmare. Oh. It is just so hard to get all this together. And producer Ann's been finishing up the end of a school year. I've been actually on the road working and not being a lazy piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So that's not helped either. It's hard to unpack your stuff when you're in Minneapolis June 3rd through 6th at House of Comedy at the Mall of America.
Bam, bam, bam.
If we could get Fuckwolf to make the commute to Minneapolis, that would really help us all out.
Yeah. I'm hoping that Fuckwolf will become the house band at Club Nub when I open up a physical location for Club Nub.
Yep. I was just going to say, you need to get to that level of popularity to where you can get a live band to bring you to the stage, and there's only one band that can do it.
There's only one band that has the fucking guts.
That's right.
It should be them or the Roots.
So. Yeah, right. it's gonna be them or Train.
Drops of Jupiter in her hair.
You are so good at the random ass bands and knowing their songs.
Oh, drops me? Drops of Fuck Wolf in my hand. Thick ropes, yeah.
Here you go, Train. I rewrote some of your lyrics because Fuck Wolf couldn't make it.
Yeah. Dude, when you said Train, my first thought was Meet Virginia. I don't even know if that's them or not.
That is them. That was their breakout hit.
Oh, is it? Well,
yeah,
shit.
It is.
Shit. Okay.
Ryan, why don't you tell us about this birthday that you won't stop talking about?
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, man, every year I get one of these things. It's like fucking clockwork, man. It's dope.
Tell us about the comedy as well. What the fuck you been doing?
Comedy, last week I was in Des Moines at the Funny Bone. Mm-hmm. I spent Memorial Day weekend there. That was fun.
Tell us.
Had a good time there. I did good comedy stuff. I told jokes. I'm in the early stages of working on my half hour to be able to start pitching to things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of getting all that. It's that's something I've never had to really mess with before. It's hard to narrow down your material.
Yeah, but dude, I'm not really blowing smoke up your ass because I've done that physically with my mouth.
It's true. We do play Vape Wolf is your
yes.
name.
Yes.
Vape fuck. You just blow vape smoke into my browner.
With the hit single Strawberry Banana. dude, you easily can get a dope ass half hour together. Come on.
Yeah, like it's not an issue of not having the material or the chops to do it. Like it was the same issue I had when I did AGT. It's like I have hours of material that I like. They give you 2 minutes. Yeah. So it's kind of like that same thing. It's like, what half hour do I want? How do I tie that together? Because you guys know, like once you like release an album or you get like a special out, that material also kind of disappears. Then like it's out of the. Because if someone watches Brent's Dry Bar, they're probably not going to want to see him do his Dry Bar set for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know,
not necessarily like though, because people do love seeing certain jokes. I mean, Angela Johnson's career was based off of the nail bit. You know,
yeah, I feel like. A signature bit is a little different than like do the same half hour.
Pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like someone's always going to want to hear, you know, Hot Pockets, but like if he was doing that exact same album today, people would be sick of it. You know, I think there's a difference between having a legacy bit and that just being what you do. But, like, you don't want to be like the guys that we've worked with that were huge in the 80s who are still doing their act that got them on Carson.
Well, tell me this, though. Are you trying to come up with a squeaky clean half hour or like a Comedy Central Presents submittable half hour? Because
more along the other lines of that, more the Comedy Central Presents, the Showtime, kind of like that type of thing.
That's a breeze. Because AGT, you had to go through all your material. You're like, all right, what 90 seconds don't I say tits? Like, that's a bit.
And that was shockingly difficult. I talk about tits a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Tit wolf.
I know. You're the titty boy of comedy. Sorry to 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz? You did say that's the tits a lot, Ryan.
Yeah. That was my my catchphrase. It didn't catch on the way that I wanted to.
That's the ticket.
And that's the titty tit tit.
And that's why Ryan's career as a child actor failed. His catchphrase as a youngin just didn't quite hit right.
Yeah. I was they had to CGI me out of Little Rascals. Because every time someone happened, I'd be like, that's the titties! Like, quit saying that. That's not in the script.
That reminds me of Cable Guy. How great and dark was that movie where they had Ben Stiller playing twin child actors and what was their catchphrase? Like, he did it! And it was like a huge hit. And then the one Ben Stiller murdered himself or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I love those fake, I think it's in... It's one of the Christopher Guest mockumentary movies.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Well, that was his old catchphrase for being like a child. What happened?
Ay, ay, ay. Well, does anyone have a topic? I'm enjoying listening to Fuck Wolf and riffing with you fellas.
Let me say this. Finally... After many months of not doing it, I got my backyard all set up and I got my projector outside and I watched a bunch of movies in my yard.
Hold on a second.
When you said backyard, I thought you finally shaved your taint. So I finally got my backyard together.
I've gotten through 3 trimmers this week alone.
God, you've really dirtied up those New Balances you bought.
Well, that is a weird way to bring
up full of butt pubes.
That is a weird way to bring up our newest sponsor, Manscaped. But hey,
a taint that won't quit,
you don't want your trimmers burning up on you, do you? Hashtag Manscaped.
Yeah. If you got a taint that brings nothing but complaints, use our newest sponsor, and Brent will send you photos of how to do it.
It's sensitive enough that it, or it's gentle enough that it could shave a grapefruit or a grundle.
Both incredibly sour. Okay. Yeah.
You know why they call it a gooch? Because it taint your ass and it taint your balls. Did I say that right?
Thanks, Dad.
I was going to say that was so like dirty daddy. It was great.
Yeah.
So, okay, explain to us, because for those of us who don't have a backyard, is your backyard, is it fenced in? Like, what do you project onto?
Here at the, mostly my relatives and my hair.
Yeah.
Here at the Terhune compound, we got some money, so we're able to afford a backyard, you know. And it's a fenced in backyard, got neighbors on either side. It's only been a wave relationship. I never talked to these people.
There you go. And you do mean those people.
Those people. But last year during the pandemic, you know, obviously couldn't go to movies. I was looking around for a projector, and they're fairly inexpensive if you go on Amazon and use my promo code Fuckwolf.
Yep.
But I got a projector on Amazon. It comes with the screen, which you know you could use a sheet if you wanted to, or you could just project it onto the wall in a room in your house. But
and I will tell you, in Indiana, it's not hard to find a white sheet to project on.
Well, no. The problem is most people are wearing them, but you can find a few.
Yeah. If you get 10 people from the local Christian group to just stand next to each other.
Kids stop watching movies? I got to get to a meeting. The cross burning.
Yeah, no, it's PTA, as a matter of fact.
So I put up the screen, and I you got to get it, the projector just right. So you got to, I've got some, you find these little props that, like, it's just like a piece of wood that I had laying around. And now I'm keeping this scrap of wood. So I'm like, that makes the projector at the right angle. That, you know, just like a crazy old man thing to be like, that's my wood.
Yeah.
Don't throw my wood away.
Hey, honey, did you touch my projector wood?
I'm going to put a splinter in your ass if you get your fingers near it again.
Well, I'm going to use that piece of wood to cover up the possum hole in my bathroom. So.
Do us a favor, though, for Patreon. Can you give us a tour of your backyard with a projector?
I sure will. Once I took it down, because I don't leave it outside or anything like that. Once I get it set back up, I'll do that for Patreon. And maybe I'll just do a Mystery Science 3000 and upload a very large file to our Patreon of me watching a movie, commenting on all of it.
No, I think it'd be funny if it was just your shadow, but you don't comment on it. So you're literally just pirating movies.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think best case scenario would be we'd ask Brent to give us a tour of his backyard, and the video would start off by him in the bathroom going, "Well, it's time to shave."
Yeah. I pictured us having a bent over, gaping terhune asshole, and that's it.
That's not on Patreon. That's on OnlyFans, guys.
Yeah, that's in our text thread.
Yeah.
You need to quit sending that.
That's in our 4chan group, I believe.
I say, are we gonna record tonight at 10? And all the zeros and the number 10 are my butthole.
Oh my god. Well, do you have a topic? Because I don't.
Well, I was thinking about this guy that I worked with a bunch when I first started doing stand-up. His name's James Sibley. He's still doing stand-up, or like, I think he's from North or South Carolina, but he always, when he met people, his icebreaker to meet new people was always, what's your first car and what was your first concert? That was his like job interview. Like, tell me about you, first car, first concert. So I was thinking about that earlier today, as far as how you get to know people.
Well, I can tell you my first concert was all about that Surfing Safari, mother. I went and saw the Beach Boys when I was a youngin at the Allentown Fairgrounds. And ironically, saw them 25 years later on their 50th anniversary tour. And
I'm at the Allentown Fairgrounds.
Yeah, that's right. I am a Beach Boys fanatic. I love me some Beach Boys.
Because I know you love hip hop so much, but then you're also like, let's put on Barbara Ann.
Yeah.
And dance.
Most of my musical taste,
Johnny. You're a mystery boy. I like that. You can't just, when we think we got you figured out, bam, here comes Kokomo.
You're always hanging out with Boss Hogg and.
Now I'll say now. Yeah, no. With me, it's hip hop and oldies. That's pretty much like not just Beach Boys. I love me some oldies, but no, I Beach Boys, man. Because you think about it, the Beach Boys they kind of brought along a whole new genre of music, man. Like in the mid to late 60s, nobody sounded like them. Then a bunch of like wannabe ripoff surf bands started. It was like a fleeting moment in history. It was like a 5-year period where they were on top. And then essentially Vietnam happened and everyone started hating the Beach Boys because no one wanted to hear about happy times in the beach anymore. That's when all the acid rock popped in and shit like that. But like from 65 to 69, that 4-year run, man, Beach Boys were great. And then Brian Wilson went a little off the deep end and wrote some really cool shit that made no sense, but I still loved it. So
I love the Beach Boys because they're such a diverse band, you know, because they've got songs about surfing and the beach and the ocean.
And Barbara, who is at the beach.
And a little deuce coupe.
Okay, yes. A lot of their songs were childish and a 6-year-old could write them. Most of those lyrics were by Mike Love. He was not the super talented one in the group. But they did have some really amazing songs. The songs I like most were not like their big hits. The songs I like most were the obscure ones. Dude, they wrote an album that didn't get completed. And Brian Wilson was so jacked out of his mind. He made them wear fire hats while they recorded. During the recording of that album, the studio caught on fire, right? Brian Wilson refused to finish the album because he believed their music started the fire.
And the song was called "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Yeah, yeah. I will tell you. I will agree with you. I'm not a big Beach Boys fan, but they did. They were very much like they created that genre of music essentially, and influenced a lot of bands. Because like without the Beach Boys, would we have Fuck Wolf? It's hard to say.
Ooh, that's a good point.
I do like the Beach Boys, and when I was a kid, I started listening to the Beach Boys before the Beatles, and I remember telling one of my teachers, I'm like, I think the Beach Boys are better than the Beatles, and he was like, think you're wrong.
Well,
and now I agree with Mr. Crosley and disagree with you, Johnny.
Well, I can't help that you're both wrong.
Did you see the movie Love and Mercy?
Of course I did. Now here's the thing: I had a hard time believing John Cusack as Brian Wilson. It's very hard for anyone to, you know, but the movie was, as far as I know, pretty accurate with how
he was brainwashed by his doctor.
That and the fact that, you know, Brian Wilson was not ever really diagnosed correctly. Like, the guy's a goddamn genius. And here's the biggest problem. And the funny thing is I'm very close friends with a niece of Mike Love. Like, we're really tight, but even she knows like, Mike Love has control of the Beach Boys. That's why, like, nowadays, if you see the Beach Boys on tour or in concert, that's Mike Love and one guy from the Beach Boys and then fill-ins. And then Brian Wilson goes on tour with another guy from the Beach Boys have split in weird factions. It's almost like NWO versus NWO Wolfpack.
Uh-huh. Oh, is Brian Wilson Wolfpack? Like, I would assume he has to be, right?
He is. He's old man Wolfpack because...
Fuck Wolfpack. Yeah.
Bam 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 bam. Turn your back on the Fuck Wolf.
God only knows what I'd be without you. Yeah, so there's been a big rift. Mike Wolf, Jesus Christ.
Mike Love
is fired
from American Pickers.
Mike Love is, he's fired Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, which is ironic because, look, if you're going to give percentages on why the Beach Boys were successful, Brian Wilson's got to be at least 70% of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, stubborn old men are going to stubborn old men. You know what I'm saying? So
how was the concert, Johnny? Both of them.
From what I remember as a little kid, super dope. And 2012 when I saw them on 50th, absolutely loved it. And then actually I saw them again about 4 years ago, and I actually got to go during intermission and meet Mike Love and the band because I was with his niece and my family. She came up with me to Santa Barbara, and we went to go watch the show, and you know, it was cool.
I got to meet Mike Love because during intermission, he served me drinks.
Yeah,
because he was working at the snack bar.
So that was my first concert. That was way too much in the Beach Boys. What about you guys?
One more thing on the Beach Boys. They were the only band hardcore enough for Uncle Jesse and the Rippers to play with on Full House. So
yo, he legit is a fill-in drummer for the Beach Boys, dude.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Uncle Jesse, he brings it hard. And he needed someone that could keep up, and Fuck Wolf was not available.
No. Goddamn Stamos, man. That guy would be just laying serious pipe till he's like 80.
Yeah, you little serious Fuck Wolf, you know, pipe.
That's right.
My first concert, I honestly, it's a little hazy. I'm not a concert guy. Like, I like music. I am not. Concerts are like a gathering of people I don't usually like. Like it's
hippies?
It's a bunch of, but it just, I don't know. I kind of listen. I'm that way with a lot of stuff. I have to like convince myself to even go to like wrestling shows because I don't watch things the same way. I kind of am more of a, I'm generally more stoic. I kind of just like watch and appreciate. And if people are like mosh pitting around me or like wrestling shows, we've all gone to enough of those. We know how those can be. It's something you just want to watch. So I think my first concert that I can remember though was at House of Blues in Chicago. I went in college and saw Sister Hazel.
I heard of them. Should I know them?
You should, but you don't know any music that took place after 1984, Johnny.
I'm thinking Sister Christian. That's definitely wrong.
That is not. It wasn't. I didn't see Night Ranger.
Motor Rain. I don't even know.
I had All For You.
Yeah,
All For You is the big. High.
Yeah. I used to piss off people at an old job, by the way, by just like out of nowhere, it would get really quiet. It was like a phone kind of job. And it was like, I would just go, motoring.
What's your price for flight? Sister Christian.
God damn.
How was that concert, by the way? And it's weird that you waited till college to go to a concert.
Well, I mean, we were poor. Like my dad
free concerts.
I know, but like, I'm not gonna go to the Jasper County Fairgrounds to see a Fuck Wolf cover band. Like, I want to see the real thing. It just kind of worked out that way. One of my friends wanted to go, and I like Sister Hazel. It's of that genre. It's very similar to Train. It's that genre of music that I'm a softie for and enjoy. And yeah, House of Blues was a cool. It's a cool little venue. I liked it because it was more intimate, so it wasn't. I don't want to be in the concert of like 20,000. Like, that overwhelms me, like the thought. Mm-hmm. But like, House of Blues holds, you know, 200-300 people. It's like a comedy club, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it was a cool little thing. And I also appreciated that too, because like, we didn't get to like meet them or anything, but it felt like they were there.
Close enough.
Because like, I mean, just like, I don't want to speak for everybody, because like, obviously those things happen. But like, if I was a huge fan of like Kevin Hart, I would want to see him in a venue that holds 300 so I could feel like I'm close to him.
Yeah.
Than go to like a football stadium with 65,000 people. Like, you might still laugh and have a good time, but like with 300 people only, like, you feel like, oh, like we're having a moment here. Like, we're in this.
You know, it's a good example of that and why it's terrible to be in a massive arena doing stand-up. I didn't really watch it. I watched a few minutes of it. The Dane Cook Vicious Circle, I think it was called.
In the round.
At MSG. Yeah,
MSG. It was ridiculous. Like, I didn't feel bad for him because God knows how much money he made. But no matter what he said, it sounded like a 1960s teeny bopper Beatles concert where he's like, what about hand towels? Yeah! Like, you couldn't even get a premise out before people were going nuts.
Because that becomes a different type of show at that point. You know, like what I'm doing now for comedy clubs that hold 200 to 300 people, I could not do this act the same way if I was lucky enough to be in a stadium.
You got to be big. You got to play to the top of the rafters.
Yeah, I mean, very small version of that. But, you know, like the Dolby Theater and Pasadena Civic Center that I did AGT stuff, like, those held about 4,000 a piece. Mm-hmm. And those were the biggest, like, in-person crowds I'd ever performed in front of. And it does change. Like, you can't be subtle with like your body movement or facial expressions and stuff like that. You have to like make it so the person in the very last row at the very top can also see what you're doing. And it's a different energy.
It's like theater.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to really like, I mean, cause you guys have done, we've all done different types of shows. I've never done any like massive shows, but I do know like when you're doing a theater, you have to just number one, take your time. Cause like the laughter will come in waves. Almost like when you hear wrestlers talk about wrestling at WrestleMania, they feel like they're not hearing any noise. And then you hear the noise 5 seconds after some shit happens.
Whoosh.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You have to be bigger than you usually are in a comedy club.
Unless you're Steven Wright. When you do taint puppetry, you got to sell it.
Yeah.
You got to sell it.
Oh, that reminds me. There was a thing. I don't know if it still is a thing. There was a live art show called Puppetry of the Penis that would actually tour.
I do remember that show, hearing of that show.
Yeah, a guy would use his wang. I was a roadie
for them back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I handled the cock socks. That was my job. I had to make sure that they were ready to go for the as soon as they got off stage. Here's our cock sock, Mr. Johnson.
You want me to tune your cock sock for you?
Yeah.
I took care of the rider, which essentially it was just a list of penis paint is what I took care of.
Yeah, I would do like a flight attendant. Warm cock sock?
This cock sock is doused in oil for you. Anyways, continue. We're almost done already. Shit.
How about you, Brent? What was your first concert?
First concert was it's right over my shoulder. Metallica, my favorite band.
Were you riding the goddamn lightning, Brent?
That's a little early for me. It was the Madly in Anger with the World Tour, like 2004, 5 or 6, something like that.
Fair enough.
And the opener was Godsmack, which I wasn't a fan of them before, but man, they had like a 20-minute drum solo. jam session, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like, just because the singer got on the drums as well. There's two drummers going on at the same time, throwing drumsticks up in the air like 20 feet. Just a really cool jam type thing. But it was in, at the time, Conseco Fieldhouse, where the Indiana Pacers play. So
damn.
Like a loud stadium show, and like you could feel your hair move with the sound. Like, that's how loud it was.
You mean before you lost your hair?
I still have hair. Look at that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
But there was more on my forehead, so.
And it was metallic and off.
Yeah, that was when you had your bangs, right?
Yeah, I was going through a weird bang phase back when I was a roadie for Puppetry of the Penis.
Dude, Godsmack, I will say this, man. They're an underrated band. Like, that guy's voice. Like, you mentioned Godsmack, all these weird memories from, like, late high school, early college. Like, all I want to say now is, like, I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite into my veins.
That's pretty close. Yeah. I remember there was a show on MTV called Fear. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, that's the fucking song.
That was the song. It was the song Voodoo.
Yeah.
It's like Christopher Lee.
I'm so pumped up right now. Dude, that album was dope. That album, that debut album from Godsmack, I think it was debut, was fantastic. I don't even know.
It was just people running around on this show with almost a selfie cam, but strapped to their chest, like in haunted places.
It was Blair Witchy, very Blair Witchy.
Very Blair Witchy, yeah. But that they were the theme song for that show.
Well, that's all cool. That sounds awesome. But can we talk about when I saw Goo Goo Dolls?
Oh, please.
If you really want a hardcore band.
Doot, doot, doot. Do, 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 do,
that is Third Eye Blind.
God damn it.
That is not this.
Shit.
That song's about meth.
You're a very VH1 type of person, Ryan. Yeah,
like I was, from like mid high school on, I was already ready to be like a lame dad in my 40s, which is like the music I liked. My favorite concert I've ever been to. Matchbox 20 and the Goo Goo Dolls.
No, okay, wait. I'm going to go with, what year are we talking?
This was like 2016, 2017.
Ooh, tough call on who headlined.
I'm Barrett.
It's not that tough a call. It was 100% Matchbox 20.
Fucking A.
Matchbox 20 is like a band now that they're kind of like, they're not at the same level of that, but think like Dave Matthews Band, who they don't need like commercial hit singles. Like, their fans are going to come see them do their thing. Like Dave Matthews hasn't had a radio hit in forever because he doesn't need a radio hit.
No. Only two nights in every city they play in.
Exactly. You know? So it's like that's kind of like, again, it's not the same level. I'm not even going to remotely claim that's what's happening. But Matchbox 20 still does big live shows and do well. And they don't need these, like, people just want to hear them play the hits and do their thing.
It's funny because my sophomore year in college, I lived next to, you know, in the dorms, the guy next
Rob
to me.
Thomas?
No, not Rob Thomas. Fuck. This kid.
Was it Pug?
No. Pug?
What's up, Pug?
No, Pug stayed. Pug went to Moravian. He went to Lehigh Valley. It was, you know, about 20 minutes from home. I went down to Philly.
What was the mascot of Moravian, by the way? Was it the Rebels?
You know what, dude, it's Division III. I don't even know if those schools gave a shit to have a mascot. I don't know.
it was the Moravian College Attenders.
Yeah, the Moravian Financial Aid Cucks. I don't know. Like, the guy next to me in the dorms was so annoyingly. Remember like 20 years ago, you had your Dave Matthews fanatics that were just nauseating. This guy.
I call him Dave. I call him Dave.
Yeah, you remember when, like, what was your favorite time you saw Dave? I think it was the 18th time when I went.
Oh, this motherfucker. He would blast the 19 different Dave Matthews live albums, which all sounded the goddamn same. And it drove me almost to the point of murder. It was so, I hate Dave Matthews Band to this day. Especially, there's one moment on one of their live albums where it goes in between songs. For some reason, he does his stupid little voice. He goes, "This song is a little bit of an in-between one." I'm like, I will choke you out right now, you son of a bitch.
Only like true fans will know the in-between song banter, or very annoyed people like you.
God, yeah, who had to hear it a billion times.
And the best part is now that guy, because he'll occasionally comment on my Facebook posts, he is like, I'm fairly certain he's borderline QAnon douche. So he's just one of those like miserable dudes who just never became a happy human being. And now I have to deal with his stupid comments here and there. And it's a blast.
Here's the thing though, Johnny. I don't know if you know this. You don't have to. Just because you happen to be assigned dorm rooms right next to each other, you can just unfriend him. It doesn't sound like he brings you a lot of happiness.
Oh, no, he follows. I'm talking about on my Facebook comedy page.
Still, block him.
I could, but, you know, I like seeing stupidity. It's fun.
Block him and cock block him.
Well.
How about first car?
Well, I feel like we should get that at next episode, Ryan. God damn it.
I'm just saying. Is this going to be a cliffhanger episode?
God, you're yes. So dumb. You're a pain in the taint.
Ironically, my first car caused a lot of pain to my taint.
Just keep away from me. Yes,
I just had to sit on the spring that had poked through the seat. That's right.
Brian, let me ask you this. As a Metallica super fan, do you feel like the guy from SmackDown, God damn it. Godsmack. Took inspiration
Michael Cole?
No, not going to go there. Do you feel like the guy from Godsmack took inspiration from Jim Hetfield?
James Hetfield? I mean, I maybe.
Jimothy Hetfield.
I know him as Jim, okay?
Yeah, I know Jim.
Maybe. Metallica has been around for so long that I don't know how you could be into metal and not at least appreciate Metallica. You're saying like that singing style, that kind
he
of
he did a thing? Lot of the rah! Like what was their the debut hit? Just I'm doing a Berserker.
I'm about
to add like four of their songs to my workout playlist. I'm pumped right now.
Yeah you're gonna hit that pre-workout and it's gonna kick in and you're just gonna be like ah,
gonna run around backhanding motherfuckers in the gym.
Now, Brett, is this going to anger you if I tell you that I've never liked Metallica?
Oh, no.
They've just not. I will tell you, I think in 2021, that's not like something that's going to get you yelled at other than by like the douchebag people who are like, music today is not as good as it was in my day. Like those people.
I haven't changed in 20 years.
Yeah, you got Justin Bieber. We had Metallica. Like they're the same fucking genre.
Like there wasn't a Justin Bieber back then anyway. Exactly. Like just comparing two things that aren't similar at all.
Aren't the same. Yeah. But like, because I will tell you, this legitimately happened. Like, I feel late 90s, Metallica was like one of those bands that like people overplayed and were like kind of over into it. It was like when they were starting the tour. Because I know like around those albums is when a lot of people were like, oh, it's not the same anymore. It's not.
They're not hard. They should go back to being hard on their albums.
Yeah, bad stuff. But I do remember once like, I had this bad kind of like Johnny had with the story of the Dave Matthews guy that lived next to him. I had like a situation. It was a dude. He was like giving me a ride back home from like football practice or something like that. Whoa, there it is.
Ow!
He's allergic to my boring story. That's
oh my God. No, I love it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm allergic to boring.
Yeah.
That's my line from now on.
God.
So my buddy's giving me a ride home from football practice, and one of those new Metallica songs from that album.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
It was one of the songs from that album. I don't think it was that one, but it was one of them. And like he was literally like, "What the fuck is this? This fucking sucks." And I was like, well, "I think it's new Metallica." And he's like, "Wait, really? All right, okay." Like he suddenly came around on it because now it was the band he liked.
Yeah.
So like after that moment, I kind of just went, Metallica's never going to be for me. That is not going to make me happy.
In that moment, you should have showed him a picture of how they cut their hair. Yeah. And he would have driven off the road.
Yeah. I love that that meme of Jim Hetfield where he's like, just went shopping at like the Gap or something like that. It's like him as cool dad now.
Can you believe he's not metal anymore? He's taking a moment to be a human to his family.
Yeah. I will tell you one thing. As much as I don't like Metallica like music, and they kind of seem like they can be dicks. Like they were the whole like really against Napster and all that. One of my favorite lines I've ever heard anyone say is Lars Ulrich. And it was like, it might have been like behind the music or something for Metallica. And people were like, yeah, people will come up to us and be like, you sold out. And I was like, yeah, we sold out Madison Square Garden. We sold out. I'm like, that's one of those like douchebag baller things that you can say. That yeah, I was
the,
like,
the way right Lars here. Used to talk, though, Lars talked like he was a Shakespearean scholar. He's like, yeah, you know, people say we sold out. And I was like, yeah, we sold out MSG. Yeah. We sold out blah, blah, blah. Like, he literally talked like he was the goddamn Mozart of modern music.
I'm not saying he's not a tool, but, like, that's a good response. That's a weird thing. And you see it a lot more with music, I think, than any other genre of entertainment, where, like, fans of stuff want the people that they love to be suffering financially
mm-hmm.
at all times. like the second anyone, like, that you have, the second that I'm not almost homeless, I've sold out.
It's like, well, you've changed, man.
Yeah, it's like I got into comedy because I loved it, but I also, like, I want comedy so that I don't have to work at Walmart mm-hmm. unloading trucks again, you yeah. know, or shit like that. Like, that's the point. You should want your artist to do fucking well.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I read, if I'm looking to get mad, I always just read the comment section on a lot of posts, but Metallica ones, because they do a charity, so they'll donate to every town they're in. And, like, there literally one last week, this guy was like, you guys live in mansions and I live in a studio apartment. How about you donate your money? And, like, the Metallica account, like, replied back with the several paragraph things. It's like, oh yeah, we do. We've donated this much. It was a very corporate way to say fuck you.
Yeah.
And other people were like, they do give their money. Stop being a dick. Just yeah. like those types of people.
Fucking that happened to Hofstetter recently.
Really? Steve Hofstetter?
Yeah. So Steve was doing this cool thing. So basically what had happened, he started going on tour and one of his fans just did a nice thing and bought like 20 tickets to one of the shows he was doing and donated them for people who might have been, like, you know, underemployed or unemployed over the pandemic, but still wants to go see a comic they like. So Steve kind of went, that was super generous. And so he kind of made like an official thing where he was like, hey, if you want to, if you're in the position to, and you want to donate tickets to someone who might not be able to, you can do this. And if you think that you know, if you're someone who could use these tickets, hey, email me here with this, this, and this, and we'll get you hooked up. It was like a nice community thing. And it became people just being like, well, why don't you donate money? And then Steve had to do the same thing. Well, it's like, well, last year I donated $100,000 to this. I give away tickets to the military and this all the time, but go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah.
He wasn't quite as corporate about it,
mm-hmm.
but it's so weird. Like fuck, what do you want? They can't donate every dollar that you make. Like,
yeah,
I donate money, but I still need to have, you know, retirement and to be able yeah. to pay my bills. I can't give you all of the money I've made.
Yeah. I think the moral of this episode is people are assholes. And so is Mike Love, Johnny.
I am not going to comment on that, but I will say this. What an episode it was. I am sweating because I'm so ready to listen to some Godsmack. Brent Terhune, tell people about you because you know you got some shows coming up and the people need to know.
My website is godsmack.au.
Yes.
If you're
the Australian Godsmack.
Yeah. Brentcomedy.com. I'll be in this week, I think, in Dayton, Ohio on Friday night at Wiley's. Don't quote me on that. I got to double check on that show. So if you're listening to this right now, I'm at Wiley's, maybe. Binghamton, New York, Louisville, Kentucky, Philadelphia. Just added a show in Lexington, Kentucky, and that's a big FREE. That's a free show.
Hey, now.
But you can pay me to get in. You yeah. just send me money directly on Venmo.
You'll be at the door.
It's free as long as you pay me under the table. Yeah.
San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club with my openers, Fuck Wolf. So all those at BrentComedy.com for all your Brent Terhune needs.
Hey, Miller.
Hey, CrippleThreat8, CrippleThreat.com. As you listen to this, I will be on, this is night two of Mall of America, House of Comedy in Minneapolis. I know patron Kendall Speedball Bailey is going to be there for one of these shows.
What up, Kenny? Guaranteed he'll be tying one on, boy.
That's very exciting. And then I'm in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, the following week after that. A couple weeks off in You can see me coming up later in the year. These are not in order. I'm in Destin, Florida, Panama City Beach, Florida. I am in Boca Raton. I am in Naples. Later on, I'll be in Livermore, California. I am in Louisville as well, doing Planet of the Tapes in October.
Well, son of a bitch.
Doing that. I got some stuff. I'm in Huntsville, Alabama. Or not Huntsville, I'm in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham. Yeah, that's what they say in England is Birmingham.
I got that later in the year. Come see me, man. Like I wanna all proceeds go to Fuck Wolf.
Quit taking food out of Fuck Wolf's mouth.
That's right. Yeah. We're trying to get him to come to Brent's show, but they have to feed themselves first so they can have the nourishment to get to Brent's show.
Yeah, it's expensive to eat nothing but raw meat.
Yeah. It's hard to come by these days.
You got to go through a dumpster at Big Lots to get like Joe Exotic.
That's right. You got to find a Steak and Shake. They're not that easy to find. Let's see. What am I doing? Tampa Improv with Brad Williams. Now, it's a little complicated. I'm going to do Thursday, June 10th, Saturday, June 12th, Sunday, June 13th.
But Johnny, what about Friday?
I'm going to be I'll be doing play-by-play in a professional wrestling pay-per-view event that will take place in Orlando, Florida. So that's going to happen. Also, I'm coming to Louisville, too. This will be July 8th through 10th. The Comedy Caravan, and it's going to be a two-person show. Myself and Sean Smith, who I think is so goddamn smart, so
what up, Sean
funny,
Smith?
So funny. Come on out! It's a two-person show. There's more stand-up coming up, and also that project I've been teasing. I do now know it's going to be on. Thus far, it will be on Roku, Tubi, and Zumo. So if you can watch content on any of those, you're going to be in good shape. But there's more coming. I don't know when it's going to be out. We're getting there. But other than that, as always,
I'm not the one who's so far away.
When I hear the Fuck Wolf enter my veins.
Fuck Wolf does sound like a brand of heroin.
It really does.
Thank you for joining us in the cafeteria. If you had a good time, rate us 5 stars, write us a nice review on whatever platform you're listening on, and if you didn't enjoy yourself, I'm going to be honest, we probably won't do better next time. We appreciate you.